Whether you're driving to work, cycling to a friend's place, or on the way to your next holiday, Amazon Music has your news fix covered. As an Amazon Prime member, you have access to ad-free top podcasts. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.co.uk/onthegonews. That's amazon.co.uk/onthegonews. And listen to your favourite podcasts on the go. Get
ready now. When Now said they'd pay me, hard to please, Catherine Ryan, to review shows like And Just Like That.
Life's too short not to try something new.
Blockbusters like Black Adam.
I kneel before no one.
And sports like the Premier League.
Oh, it's a terrific finish!
I thought I would do that for free. I obviously didn't tell them that. Our secret. Shh. Now, so much to love. Head to nowtv.com.
18 plus, now membership required. Minimum speed, 2.5 megabits per second. Terms apply.
Hello and welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast. This is Christopher Harris. And this episode, we have an exclusive interview with Humphrey Carr, who is the consulting producer on Welcome to Wrexham, as well as the Wrexham Club Executive Director. So Humphrey shines a light on a lot of different topics about Welcome to Wrexham. I was particularly interested in finding out who's responsible for the magic creating this show, because whether you're a Wrexham fan or not, to me, the editing, the stories, how well put together this whole series is from season one, now going into season two, like, who's responsible for that? So we touch on that and many, many other topics. So sit back, enjoy. Here you go. It's my pleasure to have writer, actor, comedian, club executive director, Welcome to Wrexham consulting producer, man extraordinaire, Humphrey, welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast.
I like the catch-all of man extraordinaire. Yes, I'll take that.
So Humphrey, how does it feel to be responsible for Welcome to Wrexham? Without you, the series would never exist, and Rob would never be a soccer fan if it wasn't for you.
I mean, listen, who knows what the way the fates would have woven Rob's future with football if it wasn't for me. But I it's very exciting. It's great to be, you know, it's great to be here. Great to be on the cusp of second season coming out. We're in our third, three and a half season of running the football club. It's been one of the greatest adventures of my life. So I'm very, very grateful.
So one of the questions I have, so I watched a little bit of season two so far as kind of an advanced preview, is that there's no spoilers. So going into season two, I think pretty much everyone knows what happens. But basically, we're kind of being kind of led through, okay, it's the beginning of the season and here we go. Was that a conscious effort to basically not give any spoilers in the beginning for new people perhaps that hadn't seen it?
We've heard from various people that loved the first season. They've intentionally avoided hearing what our results were all year because they didn't want to know what happened in season two. And so, yeah, I'm always surprised. You know, obviously, we feel Wrexham is the center of the universe, center of our universe, certainly. But there are a lot of people that still haven't seen it, don't know. So, yeah, I think there's definitely a movement on our part not to. I have to avoid being too, you know, talking about stuff that happens later on in the season or assuming that anybody knows what's going on, because, you know, we now know it's basically a capital crime. If you spoil the end of a TV show, if you talk about the end of The Wire, people go mad because, you know, that's a spoiler even for a show that ended 15 years ago. I had a genuine one the other day. What was it? Where I said somebody died in The West Wing. I mentioned a character dying in The West Wing the other day. And someone was like, are you joking? Like, why would you say that? And it's like, well, it ended in 2008. I thought I was safe.
So Welcome to Wrexham is coming out on FX on September 12th. Who's responsible for the magic? I mean, because I was at Wrexham at the race course a few weeks ago, and I saw the TV crews going around doing kind of the raw footage. But the actual series itself is so well produced. There's so many great interviews. There's obviously a lot of love and labor that goes into it. Like, who's, and when I look at the credits, there's so many producers listed. Like,
yeah.
who,
who's responsible for the magic of that show and how well produced it is?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, my role I'm not responsible for magic. My role in the documentary is purely sort of to say every now and then, oh, by the way, we've got a new player arriving at 12:30 for a medical. You might want to go and lurk in the car park to film him. But, you know, we had an incredible team on the ground that were assembled by Boardwalk, who are the producers. And you know, for the first season, that was a guy called John Henyon. This year, for season two, it's these guys, Milosh and Paddy, basically, as they were known, Milosh American, Paddy from Ireland. And they just, you know, inserted themselves into the club, really. So they were just very, very close to the players, very, very close to the people of the town. And I think, you know, the editing and everything gets done in the States, and that's, you know, they piece it all together. But I think where the real key lies is having people who the players trust, the fans trust, everybody trusts, that they will open up to them and talk to them. You know, it's that is absolutely vital. And I think some of the guys, you know, the crew on the ground that shot, you know, made North Wales, it's not hard to make North Wales look beautiful, but they did a great job of making North Wales look beautiful and making Wrexham look beautiful. So it's a sort of collective effort, really.
So were you surprised at all at the success, especially in the US last year? I mean, like some of the numbers in terms of the number of people watching the matches, watching the game streaming online, social media impact, everything that seemed to happen. It was at times Wrexham was the biggest story in football, even bigger than some of the Premier League matches on certain weekends, especially during the FA Cup. Was that a surprise to you?
I always hoped and I always had an expectation that people would care and be interested, but I think the extent of it definitely, you know, caught all of us by surprise. And I was talking on the phone with Rob the other day, and he was very boldly trying to assert that he always knew. And I was like, well, hang on. I remember this conversation where we thought, you know, we were aiming for this kind of benchmark and we blew past that. But he has always had, to be fair to him, this absolute conviction that we could do extraordinary things with this club and go, you know, get to the promised land and you know, get to the very top tier of the English football system. And, you know, that's very much what we're trying to do. I think that people love good stories. Football clubs, every football club has great stories around them. I think Wrexham, you know, it's Wrexham's identity is a cross-border team, you know, as every single game is a cross-border derby. Every game has that little hint of kind of us versus them about it. And, you know, I think all of those factors put together give us this extraordinary capacity. You know, Rob and Ryan, I think, draw a lot of people in. And then what people find is that they fall in love with the town and the team and the people. Mm-hmm. And that sense of seeing themselves, you know, seeing people passionate about something that is easily understandable is very compelling.
So what about outside the United States and around the world? What are some of the plans or some of the thoughts about Wrexham as far as globalization, kind of a global plan, just trying to kind of increase exposure in Asia or Africa or other continents?
Well, I mean, modern football clubs do, you know, in order to compete at the very top, and that's, you know, we would love to try and compete at the very top, even competing in the Premier League, you know, not even the top end of the Premier League. You need to expand your fan base. You need to expand global interest. And we've done an extraordinary job with that. The documentary and the storylines that football throw up in their own way have done an incredible job of that for us, particularly in English-speaking territories. But, you know, at the football club, I've met, when I've been lurking outside, as I often am, nervously pacing before games, I've spoken to people from Thailand, from Germany, from Denmark, you know, all the Scandinavian countries, all over the UK. I mean, almost more weird, I think, are the people from the UK who are often so, you know, entrenched, tribally entrenched into their team. We have folk coming in from Newcastle, Scotland, you know, the West Country, London, who just want to come up and see a Wrexham game because they like the documentary. Right. So, yeah, we'll continue to push that. We'll continue to try and get people interested. You know, the tour to the US this year was eye-opening because, you know, we played in front of a combined, what is it? We had 55,000 in North Carolina. We had 35,000 in San Diego, another 10,000 in LA and 20,000 in Philadelphia. Like, those are extraordinary numbers to turn out to watch a League Two team. And, you know, long may it continue.
And last question, Humphrey, is about all those Americans that are roaming around the streets of this North Wales town. I mean, any stories or any crazy stories that you've come across or run into with these fans?
Whether you're driving to work, cycling to a friend's place, or on the way to your next holiday, Amazon Music has your news fix covered. As an Amazon Prime member, you have access to ad-free top podcasts. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.co.uk/onthegonews. That's amazon.co.uk/onthegonews. And listen to your favorite podcasts on the go.
Crazy thing for me was talking to Wayne Jones, who runs the Turf pub, who's a sort of figure that people would know from the documentary. When I saw him for the first time after the documentary came out, I think it was sort of, I come back and forth a fair bit. I'm based in the US. And I think it was about a month after the documentary came out, I had finished that I came over and went to his bacon butty van to get a delicious breakfast roll. And it was, how are you doing? He's like, yeah, it's been mad. We're getting 60 to 70 American folk in a day into the Turf. And, you know, what that does for the Wrexham economy, what that does for the local, you know, we have a sort of this sudden nascent North Wales, again, has so many amazing things for people to do and see. You can't throw a brick without hitting a castle in North Wales. You can't, turn a corner without seeing some glorious mountainous vista. The more people are coming, the more people are enjoying that, the better. So, yeah, that's been, I think, the thing that really made me go like, whoa, that's crazy, is to have that many people coming in a day.
Yeah, well, season 2, Welcome to Wrexham, starts on September 12th on FX. Really looking forward to it and seeing Wrexham, hopefully this season. Who knows, right? Hopefully get...
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Best of luck.
All right. So thank you to Wrexham and FX for that interview with Humphrey Carr. Just a few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of going to Wrexham. I was there for what was one of the most incredible games I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen hundreds of games in my lifetime in person. And this one ended up being, it was Wrexham against Swindon. Just by luck, just by good fortune, the game ended up being a 5-5 thriller of a draw. And it was surreal being there at the Racecourse Ground, being at the stadium and just talking to the fans and watching the game. What I was probably really surprised by was that there was very little interest among the supporters about who was in the the VIP section. Was it Ryan Reynolds that day? Was it Rob McElhenney? Was it Will Ferrell or some other star? Most of the Wrexham fans I spoke to just didn't seem bothered. They weren't even paying attention. They were just there, obviously, to watch the game. So that I was surprised by, because I thought there'd be like a lot of chatter about who's up there today in that VIP section. That didn't happen. The other thing I was really pleasantly surprised by, actually two things, is one is the level of football, right? So this is a fourth tier club, Swindon and Wrexham now. And how good the quality of soccer was between these two teams. Defensively, yes, 5-5 draw, definitely mistakes there. But in terms of just playing the game, controlling midfield, passing the ball, technically this was a really high level for a fourth tier game. And then the other thing I was pleasantly surprised by is the fans. I was, in the section I was sitting in the press area, I had a chance to talk to some of the fans and overhear some of the other fans and how well they know this team, and also how, critical, it not in a negative way, but in terms of just analyzing Phil Parkinson's decision making. So as far as his starting lineup, why is he playing this player on in this position? And why is this other person on the bench? What's happening with so-and-so? And I guess that comes with any game, right? Or any team's supporters, they will be hypercritical or hyper-focused on manager decisions. And being in the stadium and listening to these Wrexham fans and talking to them, I got a great awareness in terms of, things are going great, right? With Welcome to Wrexham. this season in the Football League in the fourth tier, I mean, League Two, is going to be very challenging. And then just listening to the Wrexham fans who've been going there, I mean, every game for years, what their thoughts are about Phil Parkinson and how and the job that he's doing, which he's doing a decent job, but definitely it wasn't as if like everyone was fawning over him and just saying like, ah, what an incredible manager this is. They were kind of just still keeping their eyes on the ball, making sure that all the best decisions are made so that Wrexham can continue this incredible journey. And what an incredible journey it has been. For season two of Welcome to Wrexham, which premiered on Tuesday, September 12th, 10 p.m. on FX. It's going to be on every Tuesday night on FX at 10 p.m. Also on replay, kind of on Hulu. Season two, I've had a chance to watch four of the episodes so far. The first one, which has already come out, about King Charles and the visit of King Charles to Wrexham, was good. The other ones blew me away. There's one episode, I was in tears, absolutely in tears, watching it. Just so well produced in terms of just the stories. Really touched my heart, that one. And then there's another episode where Wrexham talks about the entire episode is talking about their women's team, and that really struck a nerve with me too in terms of those stories. So far from what I've seen from season two, advanced kind of viewings of some of these episodes that are not out yet, to me this is as good, if not better, than season one. I can't say completely because we haven't seen the whole of season two yet, but this is really, really good. So if you're a soccer fan, whether you're a Wrexham fan or not, I highly recommend to watch this. It is really, it's an incredible journey to watch this. And I mean, to me, it's all about the community. It's all about those fans. And those are the stars of the show. All right, we'll be back soon with another episode with Kartik and I analyzing the beautiful game. Enjoy your football.
Whether you're driving to work, cycling to a friend's place, or on the way to your next holiday, Amazon Music has your news fix covered. As an Amazon Prime member, you have access to ad-free top podcasts. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or visit amazon.co.uk/onthegonews. That's amazon.co.uk/onthegonews. And listen to your favorite podcasts on the go.